Can they talk their way out of the war? I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Well, Iran's president warns if Israel doesn't stop attacking, the retaliation will be more severe. The Wall Street Journal reports Iran is sending messages through intermediaries that they'd return to negotiations if the U.S. does not help Israel. And this may be why Iran wants that.
Israel may not be able to reach the parts of Iran's nuclear program that are buried inside mountains and underground without U.S. help. U.S. B-2 bombers are the only air asset that can drop the 30,000-pound bunker buster bombs.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin also reports from the Pentagon Israel has taken out Iran's defenses so they can...
can now carry out airstrikes and hunt down the mobile ballistic missile launchers that are terrorizing Israeli cities.
The missiles that got through the Iron Dome defense have killed at least 8 people in Israel. Israel also keeps attacking nuclear sites so Iran can't build weapons. Israeli President Isaac Herzog tells Fox.
We are trying to eradicate a threat. They are trying to kill civilians. And all I say is to the world, if you want to de-escalate, get the damn nukes out of Tehran's hands.
All that'll be discussed at a G7 summit of world leaders in Canada starting today. President Trump said on his way there.
I think it's time for a deal and we'll see what happens, but... sometimes they have to fight it out.
Also last night, the president in a Truth Social post called for expanded illegal immigration raids and deportations in Democrat power centers. Cities like Chicago, New York, and Los Angeles, where he deployed the National Guard and Marines to deal with ongoing protests. Minnesota's Governor Tim Walz denouncing violence in politics, urging people.
Talk to a neighbor rather than arguing. Debate an issue. Shake hands. Find common ground.
This after Saturday shootings targeting two Democratic lawmakers, killing State Rep Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark, badly wounding State Senator John Hoffman and his wife Yvette. The suspected gunman, Vance Belter, was captured last night crawling in a field. He's due in court this afternoon facing murder and attempted murder charges. America's listening to Fox News.
So many people are living with pain every day, and they think they're just stuck with it. I mean, it just is what it is. But it doesn't have to be. I want to tell you a story about Jenny. She lives in Texas. And let me share her Relief Factor story. She said she was out for a walk one day, and she was hit by a car, unfortunately. Nothing she tried for her lower back pain worked. Her husband heard about Relief Factor on the program. Jenny said, okay, it's worth a shot. Well, Relief Factor worked perfectly for her. Her pain decreased, her range of motion increased, and to say that she's grateful, I am told, is an understatement. My pain started when I hit my 40s. I tried everything, but nothing worked until I tried Relief Factor, and that broke the back of my pain. If you're living with aches and pains, see how Relief Factor, a daily drug-free supplement, can help you feel and live better every day. Give their 3-week quick start a try. It's $19.95. In a few weeks, even in a few days, you'll feel the difference that Relief Factor can make. You don't have to be stuck living with pain. Visit ReliefFactor.com. Call 800-4-RELIEF. That's 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Manoel Tuyasosopo. Around a couple hundred gathered on the street corners of Yuma to protest over the weekend. These were dual protests in alignment with both the No Kings Day movement as well as in reaction to the immigration raids over the past several weeks. Many of the signs at the protest reading messages like say no to fascism and abolish ICE. Despite mixed reactions from the community, many of the protesters say it was a big success in honoring the history and traditions of the United States Army. The Yuma Proving Ground and the Colorado River State Historic Park collaborated to celebrate the Army's 250th Big Birthday Bash. The event featured interactive booths and static displays of vintage military vehicles, artillery, and Army equipment. Local children and their families were able to learn about YPGs as well as the Army's historic ties to Yuma. And Juneteenth was celebrated across the country as well as right here in Yuma. The local chapter of the NAACP hosted a celebration at Carver Park honoring freedom and unity. Catch us on the TV side on News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local weather and sports news.
El Dorado broadcasters and this station congratulate the newest Yuma County Chamber of Commerce members. Cosmetic Implant Dentistry, People Ready, Ever Home Suites, and Amistad's Incorporated. If you'd like to find out how you can become a member and join all the benefits membership brings, email Valeria at yumachamber.org. That's Valeria at yumachamber.org. Or call 928-782-2567.
Small businesses are the heart of America. Like you, these entrepreneurs started out with a dream and the drive to build a better life. If you have a small business idea to grow or challenge to face, you don't have to go it alone. Since 1964, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. Today, they are the nation's largest nonprofit source of expert mentoring, resources, and education. SCORE will match you with specialized mentors Our thousands of volunteers provide the guidance and connections you need for free. Your success is waiting. SCORE is ready to help. Find a mentor today at score.org.
Sunny and hot all this week with an extreme heat warning in effect again today. High expected at 112 this afternoon, 78 overnight tonight. Sunny and 112 tomorrow, 77 tomorrow night. Wednesday, 110 with sunshine.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
I was thinking about starting out today with my favorite
and the law,
topic.
Presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson. Hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Yeah, I am a hateful man. I'm grouchy a lot, and that's because I feel like there's less people that have common sense than there are those who do have common sense.
Okay.
And I look around and I'm like, why? Why not just do it the easy way, the right way? Why not just get my order correct the first time? And sometimes I sweat the small stuff. But what's something that ticks you off?
Well, it's funny. I was thinking about what I hate this week.
Yeah.
And it's important to me that you write down my order. So you mentioned getting my order wrong. So there seems to be a trend in the server industry where maybe writing it down is seen as maybe a weakness, or you're not as good a server. If you write it down, you'll get these servers that you'll tell them your order, and they'll just kind of lean there and go, okay, yeah, oh, all right, and you, and you, and you, and you.
And you're telling them, make sure sautéed onions, not the regular onions.
Right.
Sautéed onions on that.
Yeah, as soon as you start making changes, like if it's, hey, I want large pepperoni pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not expecting you to. You'll probably remember that from here to the kitchen. But when I start altering the dynamics of my order, I need you to write it down. Because now it's all dependent, and I don't eat alone, so I'm usually with at least one other person, if not a handful of other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of orders to remember.
How often?
And this person doesn't want pickles, and this person doesn't want onions, and this person wants tater tots instead of fries, or whatever it is. I need you to get that right. So I see it as a responsible, professional thing to write that down.
What if they have a phenomenal memory and they're just pretending to write it down? Would that work?
Doesn't matter. It makes me feel better.
Uh-huh.
I'm the customer. It makes me feel better that you're going to get your order right. Otherwise, mm-hmm. now I'm stressed out.
Yeah.
From the time I give you my order till the time my food lands, I'm thinking, they're going to get it wrong. They're not going to get it right. I'm going to send it back. Now they're upset. Now who knows what I'm going to get?
Yeah, and
it's all about efficiency.
When you're dealing with people that's handling your food, you got to tread lightly.
You do. I'm always respectful. That's a hard job.
It is
a hard job.
That, and even if they are getting it wrong, if you lose your cool halfway through, who knows what's going to end up in that hamburger?
Oh, yeah. No, that's a poor choice to express discontent. So I'm always careful and thoughtful and respectful, but I want you to write it down. I want you to write it down.
How often does it go wrong? When people don't write it down.
Now, I don't alter the order too much because I believe in ordering it the way that
I don't believe that at all.
No, it's true.
Because I know that you're like a
I always say I want it the way that the cook or the chef wants it to be.
Chef's choice.
Yeah, don't alter it. If that's their signature dish or their thing, I want it the way he wanted it or she wanted it. I don't want to change it. After I try it, next time I might make some changes.
Okay.
But that's why I carry my own seasonings.
Do you really?
Yeah.
What kind of seasonings?
Mostly just got one right here.
No way. In your pocket?
In my pocket. Right here. Little flaky sea salt. And you can just pinch that on there and make all your troubles go away.
Right now, speaking of eating, I've been eating a lot less acai.
Okay.
Right now, I'm eating bananas.
Oh, really? I thought maybe it was ice cream, and I was going to say ice cream in the morning.
Yeah.
That's a guy making his own rules.
Yeah. I did that up until I turned 40. And then, yeah, life made its rules for me. Bananas, strawberries, and Greek yogurt.
Okay.
But it's just the honey flavored.
Okay.
Honey vanilla. And because I watched a YouTube with some doctor guy, I can't remember his name, but he's got the beard, short black hair. And he said that what is bad in yogurt a lot of times is the food coloring, because when they put the probiotics in there and then they put some type of food coloring or artificial flavoring in there,
mm-hmm.
then that kills the probiotics. And he says, you can go ahead and get some, you know, Greek yogurt that's got a lot of fat in it. It's okay to eat that in the morning,
mm-hmm.
but just make sure that it doesn't have a lot of artificial stuff. Make sure you can read
yeah.
and pronounce all the ingredients, and that's going to be okay for you. And so I've been trying that for the past couple weeks.
Okay. And?
Well, I mean.
How's your Greek?
I don't really notice a whole lot of difference, but I'm trying. And
okay.
I've been eating a lot less acai thanks to our conversation a couple of weeks ago.
Sorry to ruin your life.
Yeah.
But you're a healthy guy. I mean, you're a healthy guy. So you might not feel that you're active and you're moving and you're always doing something. So you probably won't feel as big a shift. When you're unhealthy like me for 40 years or 40 plus years and you shift, it's dramatic. The feel is much more pronounced.
What you eat for breakfast affects you all day?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So it's important. And yeah, read the ingredients. You know, it's as simple as that. There's lots of good stuff out there.
I was waiting for you to shoot down, though, something. I know you think that Greek yogurt is just...
Greek yogurt's a scam. I'll say it right here on this podcast.
That's what I was waiting for.
Greek yogurt is a scam. That is a marketing effort
uh-huh.
to use yogurt that isn't right.
But, you know, that's what gasoline was, too.
Sure. I'm not saying it's not a legitimate yogurt.
Uh-huh.
But it has nothing to do with the Greeks. I don't know where...
where that came from.
Yeah, I have no idea where that came from.
The Greeks are back there.
We had it all yeah. until the yogurt.
Where is the patent law on this? Okay, so another thing I want to talk about is it's summertime. And what is your favorite summer memory?
Ooh. You know, I was just talking to a friend about this morning at the gym, and we were talking about summer vacation. And when you're a kid, I mean, looking forward to that first day of summer vacation.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you're doing.
Like busted out of school.
School's
done.
Reading
that math book or just like taking it and tossing
yeah,
it.
Throw the backpack in the corner of the room and it doesn't move for 3 months.
Yeah.
You know, that is my favorite summer memory. Just the lift of this is my time.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is where I shine for these next 3 months. Me and my friends, me and my brothers, a friend of mine who's been my friend since we were, I think, 5 or 6. But we would get on our bikes, and we live down in the valley, and we would get on our bikes, and we'd ride up the hill to the Southgate Mall
mm-hmm.
and go to the arcade.
Yeah.
And they had this game there. It was this Star Wars game. Where you would fly through
asteroids or something.
Yeah, you'd kind of fly through this channel. So I think it was similar to like the Death Star type thing. But those were awesome, awesome times. I don't remember the heat. I don't remember just the sweat.
Yeah.
You know, but we're on our bikes, little kids.
You had to
be 8 years
old by the time you walked into
that. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Just yeah. disgusting.
110 degrees.
Yes. We're in flip-flops, you know, riding up the hill.
You're not riding an aluminum, like,
no.
light.
No. No.
21 speed or 27.
No, that was pre Mongoose and Diamondback and all that stuff. No, this was old school Huffy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And Huffy was adequately named.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you're doing when
you're
huffing
it.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, just the freedom. And so I was talking to my friend about that this morning, is that in our formative years of life, when we're young and impressionable, you looked forward all year to that break, that 3-month break. And the anticipation of that summer break is what got you through all the drudgery leading up to it. You know, if I can just make it through this next, you know, then it'll be summer and then all my cares are, you know. And that's when you're like 8 or 9 years old. You don't even really have any cares.
Yeah.
And then we're adults and we have cares, heavy, laborious cares, and we don't get that. We give it up.
Yeah.
You know, it's year round. It's, you know.
I remember feeling bad for my parents. Like, I didn't think about my parents' life and what they were going through and appreciate all that they sacrificed for me, except for that. I remember thinking, I'm out for summer break. They don't get summer break.
Right.
That has got to be.
You wake up and roll out of bed, they're gone. You know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, those poor suckers, they had to go to work.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn on Gomer Pyle and I'm going to run across the street barefoot to my friend's house. I mean, that was our time. And then, when you're an adult, you don't have that. You know, it shrinks down to whatever your vacation time is and, you know, 1 week, 2 weeks, you know, sometimes it's a matter of days is all you get. And, you know, so it's no wonder that there's so much negativity and conflict in the world. And it's because we don't have summer break as adults.
I think as far as industrialized countries, we work a longer work week and more days per year than almost all other industrialized countries. Is that?
I think so. I've worked with some people from
Spain,
Europe and England, and they
France,
do holidays.
England,
where
I think we work more days. England might
like
be
they'll
close.
Work like 6 weeks and then have 2 weeks off. And then work 6 weeks and have 2 weeks off. You know, so I don't know. I don't know if there's something there. If there's, I think the Germans enjoy work. I've known some Germans, and they just make you do chores. Yeah. So we work really hard. I mean, think about how much time you spend at work compared to how much time you're not at work.
Yeah.
Might be 50 years of
your life.
40 hours a week. And then you go on these trips and vacations, you know, shout out to Adam, you know, on vacation right
now.
He's
in Hawaii right now.
Yeah. He's in Hawaii while we're sitting here lamenting.
Suckers.
But yeah, I mean, we work really, really hard. And then when you're done working and you get your summer vacation again, you know, because you're retired, well, now you hurt. And
you don't even want to get out of bed.
You can't go anywhere. And then there's COVID and you get shut down again. I mean, yeah, it's where is that summer break as an adult? It's gone.
So if you could go back to your younger self, you said something earlier that I want to like focus on, and I was thinking about that this morning. If I could go back to my younger self, I'd tell myself, stop worrying.
Mm-hmm.
I remember as a kid, I was a worrier, just like what you were talking about in school. I could not wait for summer vacation, and my life was pretty darn good even without summer vacation.
Sure.
It's just like, just enjoy the fact that you can eat 2 pounds of candy and wake up feeling like Superman.
Yeah. If you get a bad night's sleep at this age, you're out for a week.
Exactly.
You know? And as a kid, there were several nights where we were up all night, you know, watching movies, drinking Jolt. You know, just eating Cheetos and garbage. And
whatever you wanted.
Yeah. And then, oh, you want to go run? Let's go run. You'd run around, you know, you'd go run, you know?
Yeah. I wish I could tell my younger self, take more risks.
Uh-huh.
Don't sweat the rep type of thing, the reputation and, you know, trying to impress other people, girls, whatever, your friends. Just chill out. Enjoy it because you are immortal right now.
Yeah.
And there will become a time where mortality will creep in And so enjoy this.
Yeah, young Sean had no idea what he had.
You're right.
You know? So, yeah, and none of us, and we're in a race, right? We're in a race to grow up.
Get up, yeah. You know? And now we're here, and we're like, oh, this is what I was waiting for the whole time?
It was this?
Yeah.
Bills and, you know, grocery store run. Come on. No, I want to take my shoes off and run as fast as I can across that hot street to my friend's house and play video games.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So when you ask favorite summer memory, that's it. It's just didn't matter. Every day, there was no plans. You woke up. You didn't know what you were going to do. My mom had a strict rule. We couldn't go to anyone's house or make any phone calls till 9 a.m.
Really?
Yeah, out of respect. It's too early. Even though kids are up at 6 a.m.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, you couldn't. Before 9 a.m., you don't bother other people.
Okay.
And something I still wish we practiced today. But, yeah, and so every day was just, what do you want to do? Let's go, you know? Oh, let's get on our bikes and ride.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Outings around the water are supposed to be fun. Help keep them that way by remembering the 5 layers of protection from drowning. Install fences and alarms around pools. Supervise swimmers vigilantly. Make sure everyone in the pool knows basic water skills. Use life jackets around open water and always prepare for the possibility of emergencies with rescue skills such as CPR. Together, these 5 layers can keep the good times good because anyone can drown, no one should. This message brought to you by the Greater Yuma Water Safety Alliance.
What are the essentials in life? For the sportsman, it's a rifle, a pistol, and a shotgun. At Firearms Unknown, you can get the essentials for just $9.99. A Smith & Wesson 9mm pistol, a Mossberg shotgun, and an AR-15, all for just $9.99. Need ammo, knives, targets, or sporting gear? You'll find it all at Firearms Unknown at the lowest prices in Yuma. Good things come in threes, and the 3 for $9.99 deal at Firearms Unknown is definitely a good thing. Firearms Unknown, 801 West 32nd Street, or online at firearmsunknown.com.
Ready? Go!
Okay, doctor.
Operation!
No,
Hurry, time's almost up!
Okay. The most amazing care. Oh, Belly!
Oh, I know! Shrine!
Time's up! Okay, our turn.
Ready? Go!
They changed my life.
Highness Hospital for Children!
People just like you. Kids like me can play in the game of life.
I can do things now that were impossible before.
I can draw.
I can play basketball.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Thank you!
Go to loveshriners.org right away. Thank you!
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Honestly, the not having the plan was my favorite part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it seems like we've got a plan. We have so few of those days, those vacation days, that we have to plan them out meticulously, that I feel more stressed when I'm on vacation because my schedule is more strictly monitored than when I even go to work.
And you got to pack it in.
Yeah.
You know, you got to pack it in.
Yeah. Well, I want to go into something I hate.
Okay, let's hear it.
I hate a lot of things, but one thing that I really hate is when people borrow my stuff. And
I'm quickly thinking if I have any of your things.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I do.
And number one, don't return them just without me asking, or return them broken,
mm-hmm.
or some type of abuse that's occurred. And trailers seem to be one of those things that have, like, kick me written on the back of it as soon as you learn.
Aren't I borrowing one of your trailers? I think my sister-in-law asked me.
Oh, yeah.
Haul a trailer.
I didn't make the connection.
It's Sean's trailer.
It was funny because on that phone call, my wife received the phone call. She didn't call me directly, which was funny. Your sister-in-law did not call me directly.
My sister-in-law is a smart lady.
Yes, and it said, hey, can we borrow Sean's trailer? And she knew. She didn't say, can we borrow your trailer, as in, you know, Brittany, this is jointly yours. This is sole and separate property. And can we borrow Sean's trailer? And Brittany looks at me and she says, they want to borrow your trailer. And I start shaking my head right away. And she goes, he really likes that trailer. And she goes, I know. We'll take really good care of it. And I'm still shaking my head. And she goes, okay, yes. And I'm like, this means no. The shaking the head means no. And she goes, he just really wants to make sure that you take care of it. And I'm like, nope, I do not want to lend it out.
Funny. Yeah, well, she asked me to haul it because she doesn't have experience hauling a trailer. And
oh, so you'll be driving it.
So I'll be pulling it.
Okay.
So if that gives you any
That does
comfort,
make it feel better. Yes.
I was looking forward to not having a trailer because we've ordered all the food for delivery now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to haul a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be pulling it. So I loaned a trailer to somebody. And they had a blowout on the freeway and returned it to me with the blown out fender gone, lost, didn't go back for it, and the shredded tire in the back of the trailer and returned it to me and said, here
it
you
was
go,
it tandem so they could still ride on one wheel, or did they
change the tire.
They used your spare?
They used my spare, and I usually have two. I usually go with two spares.
Really?
And returned it to me. Just destroyed and said thanks and left.
Yeah.
Yeah. I pledge to you in the witness of this yogurt cup.
Yes.
That I will take care of your trailer. And if there's damage.
There is a spare, but there's only one in it. I guess I could put two spares in it. I've got several trailers that fit it.
Okay.
But no, I had the exact same experience and lent out my, and it's just a flatbed car hauler that was lent out this time, but it's something that I waited a long time for a trailer. I remember walking around neighborhoods when I first got out of law school and we were dirt poor, just trying to pay off those student loans, and everybody had a trailer parked out in front of their house, it seemed like. And I would tell my wife that guy gets a trailer. That guy gets a trailer. I don't get a trailer. And so finally I get a trailer, and I like it. I really enjoy having my trailer, and I lent it out. Exact same scenario. Came back, shredded tire. And the thing was, they said, hey, when we were hauling this back, the tire blew out. And I'm like, yeah, that's why they have a spare. mounted right on the tongue.
Happened.
And I'm like, did you have any trouble putting the spare on? Like, no, it took us, an hour or so, but we got the spare on and everything worked out okay. And I was like, okay. And there was a shredded tire sitting in my trailer. And like, so, here it is. And again, the fender was all dented up. And it was a guilt trip on me that my trailer tire blew out.
You loaned them a...
And yeah. And so I had to go deal with that shredded tire. And I swore at that time that I would not lend out a trailer again. But I have a bunch. And I'm just...
Getting your first trailer, that's exciting. That's exciting stuff. The possibilities. That's all a trailer represents.
I don't even know what people
do
without
trailers.
It has
no purpose. Yeah, other than possibility.
You are
things you can haul.
The guy that is called now during the moves. Hey, I got this couch. It's not going to fit the back of a pickup truck.
Well, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
But you use it more than other people use it.
I do. I use my trailers all the time, and I don't even have a pickup truck, and I get a lot of flack.
That's
from
right.
My family and my friends about that.
Are you hauling a trailer with a minivan?
I used to. Originally, I did, but I have I have a Nissan 3500. You know my Nissan.
That's a van.
It's not a minivan.
No, I mean, it's a big van.
It's a giant van.
But it's a van.
Yeah, I do haul everything with that. And I do get a lot of flack from that. Everybody's like, when are you going to man up and get a pickup truck?
Uh-huh.
And in fact, we just test drove one yesterday.
Okay.
And it was everything I wanted. It's very similar to your truck. It was a Ram 2500, what do they call it, mega cab.
Okay, uh-huh.
And 4x4, it was awesome. And my wife scheduled the test drive without me even knowing. So she just came
She's
by work.
On board.
She came by work about a half hour after I got off work and said, hey, can we go test drive a vehicle between 5 and 6 p.m.? And I said, sure. She said, I found this really good deal. And let's go test drive it. So, yeah, we went and test drove that vehicle. And I have a BMW right now, and I really like it. I like the way it drives. It's a plug-in hybrid, and it charges on this pad that I drive over.
I've seen it. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, and so that I never have to actually even plug it in. I just drive over the pad, and it charges. I never have to, around town, fill it up with gas. And so I really like that. Plus, when I go out of town, I can just put gas in it, and it just regular, you know, combustion engine. But so they're like, okay, what do you want to trade in? And she's like, yeah, let's trade in the BMW. Oof. And the amount that they you know where I'm going with this.
Mm-hmm.
The amount that they offered my BMW in exchange for that truck, that was the shortest conversation I ever had with a salesman. I was like, okay, nope, that's not going to work. And I stood up right then, hand out, shake. All right, we're done. And I walked out. And my wife was a little upset about how I ended the conversation. She's like, you didn't want to like counteroffer or anything. I was like, I was so offended about how much he offered me for my car that I really like that there was no further discussion to be had.
Yeah, I totally understand. Totally understand. But is there a limit on vehicles?
Yeah, there is, and that's the problem.
But your kids are leaving. So at what number of children is the van not happening anymore?
Well, that's funny because as I was at the dealership, I got a phone call from somebody asking to borrow the van.
Mm.
And we do loan out the van a bit, and it has actually been taken care of. People are respectful for it. And so I do like lending out the van because, you know, when you need to haul 12 people, you're usually doing something for charity, right?
Sure.
You're not hauling 12 people just for the heck of it.
Right. Unless you're a human trafficker.
Okay.
They're big on vans.
Yeah, I suppose so. But normally, yeah, you're going to a church activity. In this case, going to girls' camp. There's a guy volunteering his time, his week off of vacation, to haul a bunch of kids up to girls' camp, and he's asking me to borrow my van. And so, yeah, we're going to do that. And I use it to haul my kids out and their friends to pull the boat and go boating. So I use it at least once a week. So I've thought about turning in the van a lot, but can't go there because a pickup truck's just not going to – I can only fit six max.
Sure.
In a pickup truck. And on the boat, you need eight. Eight
sure.
is a good crowd for a boat.
Okay. Well, as long as you're using it, if it's just sitting there.
I have zero cars that sit. I don't have vehicles that sit. And I don't, and that's the thing is I don't buy a car without saying, okay, now we got to switch out another car. We've got the cars that we want and we use. We've got to figure out the rotation there. So, I hate lending out trailers. And that's the one thing. Tools in general, but trailers in particular, because, gosh, I don't think people went through what I went through, the envy of the trailer for like 5 years before I finally got it. But I'll tell you, one of my favorite summer experiences was actually when I was adult. And I got my first boat. It was this $3,000 1989, what was the name of it? But it was this outboard boat, and I got it for, you know, a great deal. It was probably worth more than that when I bought it, but I got it for $3,000 because it's from a friend, and they showed some pity on me. And we were taking this boat out, and I would take the youth group out for church every week. And I remember we did that quite frequently, and when we would go out there, the funny thing was is whoever launched the boat, you know, whoever was driving the van to back it up, had to go down the ramp and then, you know, swim to the boat. And one time we were sitting out in the boat and the ramp was super slippery as at Senator's Wash. Mm. And sometimes it is super duper slippery.
It's an ice skating rink. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And when we were getting in the boat, several of us slipped getting into the boat. And so we knew it was slick. And so we're sitting out in the boat and there is this guy, Nick. He is a funny guy. And He's pretty beefy, and but he's really funny, and he's athletic. He's the type of guy that he can move. He was a Border Patrol agent, and so he was in shape, but he was a big guy. And he was coming down the ramp, and I was talking to the kids. There was a bunch of 15- and 16-year-old kids in there, and I said, hey, I'll bet you guys $5 that he slips on the ramp. And they're like, I don't know, you know. They knew Nick, and they'd challenged him to athletic competitions. Agile, yeah, and they'd seen that he's actually more than meets the eye. And they're like, I don't know, he's pretty sure-footed. I'm like, $5. You got $5, everybody? And I'm like, I will pay each of you $5. That's how confident I am. And then you just have each one of – I don't know if I was going to – I forget the details on the bet. Anyways, it was $5. And they're like, yeah, okay, we'll take the bet. And so as he starts nearing the water's edge, I'm like, Nick, let's go. What's the holdup? He's like, oh, yeah, sorry, sorry. He starts hustling. And they're like, that's not fair. And sure enough. And we're out in the water a little bit. We're out further than necessary, probably about 25, 30 feet out away from the dock. There's no dock, from the ramp. And sure enough, he slips hard. I mean, his feet go over, his head slip, lands right on his shoulder. And we started cracking up, but we don't want to, like, show him that we're laughing at him. So we're, like, hiding our head in, under the boat.
He could be severely injured, and you're laughing.
We're just laughing.
Counting your money.
As hard as we can. And then he tries to get up again and act. He didn't fall. He does this quick roll over to his stomach.
He meant to do it.
Does a push-up, you know, and gets back up. And I'm like, come on, man, let's go. And he slips again. Oh. And we are still laughing. He tries to pull off the second one, slips a third time. It's flat out in the water. So there's like, now he's just drenched head to toe. There's no pulling it off. And so he swims to the boat and climbs up on. And I can't tell the story without laughing, but we were laughing so hard we couldn't breathe, and he couldn't hear us laughing.
Uh-huh.
And he's huffing it in the water, swimming to us. And he pulls his head up over the boat, and he goes, hey, did you guys see me slip?
Did you see that?
At this time, we're like begging for air because we were laughing so hard that he was like, what's going on? And, that was one of my favorite memories ever, just going out. That boat was a 125 horsepower.
Okay.
I chewed up more tubing ropes and more wakeboard ropes with that, hit more rocks. But, I think I replaced probably four or five propellers on the first summer.
Nice.
Just because that was my learning boat.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so summer's just fantastic. We're in it. It's warming up. It's getting hot. Not thrilled about that. But
what's your boat situation?
I have one. You've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I broke down. I got lucky. I bought mine.
Right before COVID?
Right before COVID. Before everybody knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah, so I finally decided, you know what, we need a larger boat. We had a smaller boat. I had my learning boat.
Yeah.
Still. And
flames on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Custom.
Yeah, custom paint job on that bad boy. And that's a great boat. In fact, my brother just sold it a few weeks ago, and as it was leaving, he was questioning, maybe I shouldn't sell that boat. It's a good boat. It's one of those boats that just kept on going, no major problems, just a good workhorse little boat.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
The best words to hear at the TSA security checkpoint? You're good to go. All it takes is a little preparation. Get to the airport early, bring a carry-on bag that fits in the overhead, and have an acceptable ID. Not all state-issued IDs will cut it. Check out tsa.gov/ID and see which TSA acceptable IDs make the grade, like a real ID or passport.
Before you jet, do a little prep, and you're good to go. Check out tsa.gov/ID or the MyTSA app.
No young person should ever have to worry about having a safe place to sleep at night, or a warm meal to eat, or whether anyone cares about them.
But the reality is, 1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year.
But the good news is there's an organization making a big difference. Covenant House.
For over 50 years, Covenant House has been helping youth in crisis and giving them the support and the tools they need to succeed in life.
I have no words to express how Covenant House changed my life. They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding.
When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges.
Covenant House is changing the lives of young people in cities across America.
To learn more, go to covenanthouse.org today.
In tough times, it can be difficult to know where to turn. If you or someone you know is looking for help, the Yuma Community Food Bank is here if you need a hand. We provide food and other resources to families, seniors, and individuals in need. We are open Monday through Friday. All you need to receive a food box is a photo ID with your current address. Visit our website at yumafoodbank.org for more information. The Yuma Community Food Bank also accepts donations in the form of non-perishable food, monetary donations, and volunteer help. You can choose to donate or advocate. You can choose to volunteer or raise awareness. You can choose to help end hunger. Call us anytime, 928-343-1243. Visit our main campus, located at 2404 East 24th Street, or use our food locator map online at yumafoodbank.org.
Under the Hood, Sundays at 6 p.m. on 560 KBLU.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Yeah.
And so then we're like, okay, well, you know, we got, I married my wife, so two more children in the mix, or a bigger family now. You know, we need a little bit larger boat. Most of everybody in my family loves the river and going to the river. And so when we go, it's, you know, 5-6 people. If we invite friends, there's 8-9. We need a larger boat.
Yeah.
So
how do you get them all out there? Yeah, they got to take different vehicles.
Yeah. So we usually pull two vehicles. We usually go two. We'll buy the annual pass because you get two.
Yeah.
Two passes for that. So
$75.
We usually know that we've got two, but it's worked out in our favor quite a bit, because a couple times you'll have a blowout, or you'll have something happen to where, oh, I'm glad we have this other vehicle, because now we can go get what we need to take care of this other situation. So never hurts to have a spare tire or a spare
vehicle. Yeah.
So, but no, yeah, we're getting ready. We were just thinking the other day that after girls camp next week, then we'll get the boat ready and it's time to start going out again.
You haven't been out yet this summer.
I haven't been out this summer at
all.
Water's
great. Been out a few
times.
That's not
true. I was out couple months ago with my brother. We wore wetsuits because it was still cold. But in the wetsuits is great.
Yeah, I've been out three times. Water's great.
Yeah.
And Senator's Wash. It's good.
I don't do the wash very much. I don't like the wash.
Yeah.
It's beat up pretty quick. If you get more than two or three boats out there.
Are you wakeboarding?
We'll wakeboard, and then on my brother's boat we can wake surf.
And wake surfing you can still do when it's pretty choppy.
Yeah, but the wakeboarding, you need, it's better with smoother water.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, it's unpredictable sometimes, the water level till you get there. And
well, there's an app that tells you exactly what the water level's going to
really?
Be. Uh-huh.
Oh.
And I look at
I've
that.
I've always wanted that. I'll have to get that from
really?
You.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. And I always decide by, depending on the app, if it's 235 and it's above sea level. So,
okay.
It's 235 or above. Wash is good to go. That's high enough where you're not going to hit that rock that they refuse to put a buoy on.
Uh-huh.
I've put two of my own buoys.
Oh, yeah,
on
there's several homemade buoys out there.
And
rock from
last time I went out there was none. Whoever thinks that it's awesome to steal buoys off that rock, you know, they've got
somebody just left this buoy here.
Yeah. I don't know, but I've put several out there. I know other people that I've hit my outdrive on it before. I know other people have done that. I do not know what that fee that we're paying for is. I know it's not a lot. You know, it's $10 per parking time or $75 a year. But they do zero maintenance on that ramp. It's crumbling to pieces. The parking lot has no parking lines. Yeah. There's no rhyme or reason to any of just how you're going to park your trailer and where cars park instead of trucks that are pulling trailers. And they won't put any buoys out there. Plus, another thing that really gets me, this is what really gets me. They're dredging the river, and they're taking out all this beautiful sand in the river, which is nice because there's less sandbars to hit, you know, especially when you're putting in at Hidden Shores.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, there's several spots that are hard to get through now.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear they're dredging, hopefully, those spots.
And they've been dredging for 2 years now.
Okay.
And so they've been making it a lot easier to get out of Hidden Shores and get past that area, you know, right where you exit Squaw Lake.
Uh-huh.
There is a big sandbar right there.
Yeah.
They're getting up to that area. Anyways, the sand that comes out of there is beautiful. It's super fine sand, and it feels great on your feet. They're dredging that out, and they're putting it at the end of the road, at the end of Martinez Lake Road. Not Martinez Lake Road, Senator's Wash Road.
Oh, that's where all that sand's coming from.
They're creating a big sand dune.
Okay.
For no reason.
Connecting the dots.
You can't go there. You can't ride your four-wheeler there or your quad or your side-by-side. And they could just as easily put that around the shore of Senator's Wash.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And made that gorgeous.
Made it a beach.
Yeah, would you?
Well,
can you
maybe
imagine?
Maybe that's the plan.
No.
We always try to, when we talk about things we hate, we always try to understand the situation.
Yes.
Maybe we don't hate it so much.
No, there's no plan. This
maybe
is the
that's the plan.
Doing bad things for stupid
oh,
reasons.
Oh, that's a brilliant idea.
Right?
Yeah.
And I've talked to them. I've even asked if I could have
let's
some of the
sand. Borrow your van and your trailer and some shovels.
I got a tractor.
And let's go start moving it.
Yeah, I got a tractor. And I was like, Thor, let's load up. We got a dump trailer. Let's load up the dump trailer and use some of that sand to make a sand volleyball court. And so he's like, yeah, sounds good. It's in California, so I figure...
I'm sure that's not just open to anybody.
Yeah, so he'd called and asked about that, and they said, definitely not. And he's like, well, can we buy some? No. Well, okay.
That's a brilliant idea. That would change the game at Senator's Wash.
It's all mud or rock.
Walking on broken glass.
Right?
At the beach.
Yeah. I don't know why they don't do that there, but...
I've wondered where, because all of a sudden there were dunes there,
mm-hmm.
and I wondered where. What is that? Where's that? Why did they import that? What is going on? And now it makes sense. But yeah, it's great sand. Yeah, funny. Well, yeah, the river is that's an iconic summer Yuma activity.
And you've got an outboard or inboard outboard.
Yeah,
and so. When you hit those sandbars,
I don't.
You don't.
No, been on that river since my youth.
Uh huh.
And you know where they are. You know when to stay to the right, when to stay to the left. I don't hit them. I have hit them once or twice.
Uh huh.
Not more than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Because they shift though.
They shift, but they don't shift so dramatically, and you can usually predict that towards the edges it's deeper. They pile in the middle.
Yeah.
So if there's any question, you wear polarized glasses, you can usually see them when they get higher than, you know, maybe 3 feet from the surface. You can usually see them and avoid them. Yeah, I'm not 100%, but I'm also not out there.
You just jinxed
I've never had
though.
To, yeah. I
but
have.
you only boat between, like, Martinez Lake and Squaw Lake.
Or
do you go north of Squaw
Lake? I've gone north. I've gone quite a bit north. In fact, one of my fun summer memories was before my daughter moved away to Utah. She loves to jet ski. She is a jet ski fiend.
Really?
Oh, she would go forever and ever if she could. She loves it.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, hey, before you leave, let's load up the jet skis. Let's load up several tanks of spare fuel, and let's just go till we can't go no more.
Yeah.
And we did. And it was a blast. And we went up to some weird, strange, crazy how it changes as you go north.
Yes.
And it's beautiful. I love the river. That's why I don't like Senator's Wash. Because you get the water, but it's ugly. And it's not attractive.
Right.
The river changes and shifts. And there
and
might
you,
be wildlife.
You don't feel like you're in the desert.
No.
I've never been to the Nile, but I always feel like that's what I envision the Nile to be like in my
uh-huh.
mind.
Oh, yeah.
And so
we go in those backwaters, and all of a sudden you're on the Jungle Cruise.
Yes.
And it
feels
fantastic.
Like the Disney Jungle Cruise.
Yeah, it's otherworldly, and it's right there. You know, it's 30 minutes from the door. You can be on this other planet.
Yes.
Yeah, it's super fun.
And the water, even if it's windy, it's... Honestly, I enjoy going when there's a bit of a wind, like 15 miles an hour breeze. That will, like, wreak havoc on the lake. But on the river, if you go with the breeze,
oh, yeah.
What's amazing is it's like you're standing still.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going 15 miles an hour pulling your skier, and the wind is going with you, and the water is smooth. And so it's like you're just standing still, but you're going. And that is an amazing feeling. If you can time that right, uh-huh. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I love sundown on the river is one of my favorite things.
Uh-huh.
When the water starts to get low, the sun starts to get low, you see the sky, and there's mountains, there's terrain, there's vegetation, there's the water, and yeah, you don't feel like you're in Yuma. So every trip to the river is a little mini vacation.
Adventure, yeah. My wife, she stresses out a little bit when we go to the river because I do tend to hit sandbars. Mm. And I've got a jet boat specifically because I hit sandbars so often. And I don't like to limit where I can go. I've taken my jet boat all the way from Imperial Dam to Blythe. And I took at that crossing right there. So,
Whoa. Yeah,
I wouldn't do that more than once. I had to do it once. That was a bucket list type thing.
Uh-huh.
And when we didn't actually even plan it. We said, let's go to – it was me, my son, and his friend. And I had just got the jet boat, and we're going up, and we're getting over these sandbars that previously we'd had to push the boat over.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, this is a really low draft. It's only got like a 4-inch draft when you're on plane for this jet boat. And it's a 21-foot Yamaha. And so I'm going, I'm like, this is crazy. And I'm even going past, I remember there was like this little aluminum fishing boat that was like, he was just pulling it across a sandbar, and I scooted right past him.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, man, I'm feeling amazing. So we got to Picacho, and I was like, you guys want to go further? They're like, heck yeah. So we kept going, and I'm like, when do you want to turn around? They're like, never. So we're like, okay. So we just kept going, and we made it all the way to Blythe. There were some sketchy spots. I think we had to push off maybe like two sandbars because I misjudged the water,
mm-hmm.
and you've got to see where the current is going through the channel. But we made it all the way to Blythe, and then I got to Blythe, and I had to make the phone call. Hey, my trailer is parked at Squaw Lake. Do you mind grabbing it? Because there wasn't enough gas in the boat.
Oh, to make the return trip
back down, and it was dark.
One-way ticket.
Yeah, and so I had to pull in one of those big favors, like, this is one time I need a don't ask favor. Just grab my trailer, meet me in Blythe. And that was an adventure.
Fun. Yeah, those are good times. But yeah, Yuma summers, you know, we dread them for the heat, but there's a lot that happens here in the summer that is exciting and fun.
And if you've gone boating anywhere else, you go boating, you get in the water, you get acclimated, and that feels good. But when you get out, you're always shivering.
Yeah.
And in Yuma, it's 110. You get out, you're fine.
Yep.
In fact, it's like in between skiers or tubing sessions, you're like, oh, I got to get back in the water. That's pretty awesome to be able to get out of the water, sit in the boat, and just feel fine, especially if you've got a good bimini. The first couple of times that I went out this year, I hadn't put the bimini back on. And I'm like, we don't need the bimini. We're just going to go out for a few hours. My thighs are still peeling.
Yeah. Yeah, you need the bimini. Yeah, I have family in Utah and Idaho, and they ski in the summer. But their water's still in the 60s.
You know? No,
they have heaters on the boats.
Yeah.
You get out, and you need a heater. That's not fun.
I went to northern Idaho a year ago and went boating in Lake Coeur d'Alene, and it was in July, and it was a hot day. And I jumped in the water, and I was like, ooh, yep, that's cold.
Yeah.
And I appreciated the warm bath water of Senator's Wash. it can get a little warmer.
It's a little, uncomfortable when it's just everything's kind of tepid and hot and gross.
Going back to lending things, I've lent out my boat, started lending out my boat.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So it's a 2007, it's a Yamaha jet boat, and it's pretty pretty solid boat. So it's all fiberglass. The bottom I've refinished several times because of my sandbar incidents. I hit one sandbar so hard that I hit my shoulder on the rearview mirror, smashed the rearview mirror, shards went into the shoulder, and had to get stitches. And the people on the front of the boat, poor souls, you know, flew. They didn't fly completely out of the boat, but they smashed into the bow of the boat pretty hard. And so, yeah, we've hit some sandbars. But I digress. We refinished the bottom of the boat. So I got this stuff that the Navy SEALs apparently use. At least that's how the company markets it, that they line the bottom of their boat with this. And you can apply several layers without stripping it off again. And it makes it super slippery. They call it Speed Coat 49.
Okay.
And so you put this stuff on, and the first time I went to launch my boat, I unhooked the front of the boat from the trailer before I had it in the water, and that boat started sliding right off my trailer. I was like, whoa, crap. And I had to like run up and grab it, like reattach it, and then get it in the water before I unhooked it. It is super slick. Well, thanks, Chris.
You bet, Sean.
Appreciate you coming on, and I look forward to going to girls' camp. That's going to be a good but exhausting week ahead.
It's going
to
be a good time. We always dread it, but we always have a really good time, you know, and it's because, you know, you're there, Brittany's there. You know, Adam and Jessica are going to join us this time.
In the kitchen?
In the kitchen.
Really?
Yeah. So we'll have a good team. And really, that's what's so fun, is just all the chatting and stuff that goes on while you're in the throes of getting ready for service. But, yeah, so we'll be doing 3 meals a day for 5 days, nonstop, for 160, you know, of our youth from the church. So it'll be... It'll be an adventure. Always is.
Yeah, very good.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
Wildlife around the globe needs help. And when you help protect them, you become a friend of the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance, a real friend. The kind of friend you want to thank, and not just with a card or a text, but with a song.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again.
Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant.
Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend.
From your friends at the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance, thank you for helping protect wildlife around the globe. Without you, there's no them. Learn more at sdzwa.org/friend.
Thank you for being a friend.
If you're the owner and or operator of a local business and want to continue to hear the right talk, please consider advertising on KBLU. Your advertising dollars are the gasoline for the Clark, Kilmeade, Hannity, Beck engine. Without your support, the old 560 just won't roll. Reach out to like-minded folks, the Patriots listening to this legendary radio station. When you do, you can invite new customers in and remind regulars to visit more often. And most importantly, keep the programming you love on 560 KBLU.
Statistics show that roughly 20 veterans die by suicide every day in the United States. And each day, over 1,000 dogs are euthanized in shelters across the country. Canines for Warriors is the leading nonprofit organization providing highly trained service dogs to veterans with PTSD and other invisible wounds of war.
I'd probably still be stuck in a living room with the curtains drawn, with my back to the wall, with probably a gun on my lap.
The majority of service dogs from Canines are rescues, and with each pairing, two lives are changed forever. We rescue the dog rescues the warrior. To learn more about how Canines for Warriors is saving lives at both ends of the leash, please visit caninesforwarriors.org. That's caninesforwarriors.org.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.